1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the works of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessing upon us and the opportunity we have, Lord, and the freedom that we enjoy in this country to gather. Lord, open the Bible. We're not in fear of arrest. We're not in fear of being broken in upon and taking into custody for studying the Bible. Lord, there's Christians, no doubt, around the world engaged in Bible studies that have that fear, but we're blessed to be here. May we take full advantage of us. May we discipline our mind, Lord. May we rebuke the flesh a bit tonight and set up and listen, not give in to maybe a bit of weariness. May we concentrate, discipline our minds to listen. And then, Lord, that spiritual aspect where your Holy Spirit begins to tutor us and teach us. And I pray that that would happen. And, Lord, give us each and every one what we need tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we see in the introductory verse, verse 1, is a chapter. The theme of the chapter is the teaching upon spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, let me say a couple things about this. Everything we're going to talk about when we talk about spiritual gifts should be defined by that phrase. One of the things that we're having problems with in Baptist churches when we begin to teach 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, is that too many of us have been brainwashed into hearing certain phrases, and we then have that phrase or that word instantly defined in our minds wrongly because there's been some false teaching or false doctrine or false church misuse that word, grab that word, claim that word, redefine that word. Here's a great principle for Bible study, and that's this. You have to, if you're going to properly divide the Word of God, you have to define Bible words by Bible definitions. Not what the culture says it is, not what a false doctrine says it is, not what another church says it is, but what is found in the very usage in the Word of God. There's the principle of first mention, which means when you see a word first appear in the Bible, usually every time you see that, along with that will come a Bible definition to that word, a Bible explanation of what the Bible's talking about when it uses that word. A lot of false doctrine simply comes from the fact that people have taken Bible words, ignored the Bible definitions, and put their own definitions to it, and then have brainwashed society into believing that. So we'll be talking about these specific things. But think about that, spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, the very word spiritual simply means that, and we'll find this in the context, that all of these gifts that are mentioned, when they call them spiritual gifts, it means that they are from or produced by the Holy Spirit of God. We see that in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So these are, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're talking about the source of them coming from the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Now, don't just run past the word gifts. I think that that is of great importance here. Okay? Was salvation something you earned or was it a gift? Okay? And that's why I want to kind of get you around that word. Think about that. Somebody said different, would you want to fight with them? Do you know what? If the Holy Spirit has given you a gift, you have no more right to brag about that as if it came from you as you do as if you saved yourself. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation's a gift. We don't brag about the fact that we saved ourselves. So if the Holy Spirit of God has given you some supernatural, if you look at that word spiritual, it literally means some supernatural gift, then what in the world and why in the world will we ever be puffed up with pride as if that came from us? And yet a lot of times, and what we see here in the church of Corinth was some of the basis of their carnality was that they were gifted, or a certain member was gifted in some area. And when we use the word gifted, it means God gave him an ability. God gave him some supernatural insight, supernatural ability. And he wanted to look down at those that did not have that gift, or he wanted to brag upon himself because he did have that gift. You know what, folks? About the fastest way to make null and void a spiritual gift in your life is to start claiming that it came from you. That's just about going to make it null and void in your life. I don't care how real it is. You're going to taint it. You're going to ruin it. You're going to contaminate it. And you're going to make it useless in your life. So remember, as we study these things, you may, as we study spiritual gifts, you may look at something and say, wow, you know what? I believe that that is something that I have. Well, good, but don't ever think that you produced it. And don't sit back and look at me with a big smile like, hey, that's me. Did anybody notice that? Am I the only one to notice that that's me? Hey, that's me. No, that's him. That's him. You know, let me just say this, and I know our church is trained to listen for it because you've just heard it. And you've heard, I don't even sometimes know if you understand the advantages that you've had in having Pastor Ross pastor all of the years that we were blessed to have him be a pastor. And I've tried to pick up on these things too. But when somebody comes in and they begin to want to tell of all the things they've accomplished, there's just something immediately at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that just kind of goes. Because you've just been in a church where we have very carefully, and I mean very regularly, credited the Lord with every single thing that happens. So if someone can get up and talk for 40 minutes and tell of everything that they've accomplished, and God's never mentioned, and God's never glorified, and God's never credited, it kind of goes over like a lead balloon in this auditorium. Okay? But and it should. And it should. You know, we've got to be so careful. I'm going to tell you what. The quickest way to lose the blessing of God on your life. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that no flesh should glory in his presence? I thought no flesh meant. Amen. Yeah, do a deep study of that. That means not you, me, nobody. None of us. We don't do any glorying. And so if you recognize a gift, be thankful for it. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the profit of the assembly. But be so careful that you do not become boastful, braggadocious about it, or want to go around and make sure you remind everybody on a regular basis that you have this gift. Because I'll have to transfer your membership to the Church of Corinth. All right. Let's study this, shall we? Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, self-explanatory. And God doesn't want us to be ignorant about these things. If you're sitting there saying, you know, preacher, I've heard about spiritual gifts, and be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about it. Well, this is a great opportunity because, you know, these are things we need to learn about. These are not things we ought to be ignorant about. And so pay close attention so that you have a full understanding of what spiritual gifts are and that you'll understand them. Now, verse 2, you know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now, Paul's got to deal with where they have come from, because supernatural gifts, spiritual gifts, were not a part of their former false religion. They did not worship a true God who was real and who was able to empower them with the Holy Spirit of God and with spiritual gifts. And I want to just point this out. It says, that they were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. They were led or deceived into believing that something was supernatural when it was not. You know, folks, it's interesting. I read this when I was doing the study here, but there was a statue of Isis found in Corinth in a ruined temple. And this would have been during the same time as Paul was there. The ruined temple showed a secret stairs that led to the back of the statue. Also, the head of the statue showed a tube that went from the back of the head, a tube that went through the statue from the back of the head to the parted lips. Through the tube, the priest concealed behind the idol spoke the answers and the words of Isis. And these kind of things were going on in the false religions of Corinth during this time. These people were led, deceived into believing that something was supernatural. You see all these people? The statue's talking. And they were led to believe that something supernatural was happening when nothing supernatural was happening. And I think, you know what, people can be deceived and whatnot, but I don't think people are deceived very long. And I think most of these people that were saved out of this maybe were open to the gospel because they began to see that there was somebody behind the curtain, okay? But they kind of brought that over with them. And if you're not careful, you get jaded that pretty soon nothing is real, nothing supernatural. But Paul's like, listen, where you came from, there was a lot of use of smoke and mirrors and deceit and brainwashing and psychology. But in Christianity, there is the supernatural involved. There is a real God, a real Holy Spirit that does miraculous and supernatural things. And supernaturally empowers and gifts his people to do his work. And so he wanted to kind of, you know, it's sad, but all of that deception and all of that's being carried on today. I got something. I'm just going to chase a rabbit, tell you this, just because I'm mad and I got to get it out of my system. Amen. Unbelievable. Fox News reported Tuesday, March 2nd, 2010. This would have been yesterday. Story came out, Fox News. A Texas college campus divided over Bible for porn campaign. Now get this. A Texas college campus is locked in a fierce debate after a group of students launched the Smut for Smut campaign, trading Bibles and other religious texts for porn. Atheist students at the University of Texas at San Antonio announced that any student over the age of 18 will receive free pornographic material if they'll trade in their religious materials, including the Bible, any study books, anything that talks about religion, the Quran, anything religious. If you go to them, and by the way, I got on the internet, clipped the story, watched it. I mean, they've got tables out there. If you walk up with a Bible, hand them a Bible, they'll trade you a Bible for a pornographic magazine. And by the way, this little side note shouldn't surprise you. Most of it, they said this in the report, most of the pornography that's given out was homosexual pornography. Now, is that crazy? I mean, where are we? What planet do we land on? What happened to America? Okay, a university spokesman said this, that this controversial cause is completely legal, though he admits that many of the students on campus do not agree with it. But it's legal and they have their freedom of speech and we can't do anything about it, is what he's saying. Now, let me say this. That's a bunch of college students sitting back there doing that. We're talking about 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids. Let me say this. They weren't born to not believe in God. They weren't playing in preschool at 3.5 years of age and just look up and say, you know, I don't think there's a God. 7 years of age, they didn't just, you know, have this all of a sudden this moment of humanistic enlightenment and decide there wasn't a God. These were young people that were systematically led away from the truth and led into falsehood. And that's what Paul was saying here. He's saying, you know what? He's saying, when you worshipped those dumb idols, and I know that the word dumb means that they can't speak, but I still kind of like the fact that it's just the way it is. Dumb idols. But he said this, you were carried away even as ye were led. And boy, there's a lot of that going on today. Our young people, they've got a generation of young people just being led into unbelief, led into paganism, led into humanism. And boy, that means we've got to work harder to do our job. Amen. Now, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll spend a lot of time on this because, again, it's pretty self-explanatory. He just simply said this: when the Holy Spirit of God is involved and someone is teaching who is controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there's two truths concerning that one as far as what they will say or will not say. First one, no man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus accursed. That means if somebody's Spirit-led, they're not going to curse Jesus. They're not going to accuse him of being an accursed one. And so that's impossible to do that and claim that that came from the Spirit of God. You say, why is he saying this? Isn't this a no-brainer? Remember, I think Paul was dealing with some people specifically in that church that were false teachers. I don't think this is a random statement. I think he was flat out saying, you know what? You guys ought to know better than this. You're listening to someone who's claiming to be spiritual, but they're saying this. No man who is Spirit-led would say this. So he's kind of putting his finger, I think, on an individual. Then the second thing, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I think that probably came in defense of an assault on his character, or whether or not he was Spirit-led, but he was simply saying, hey, you know what? If I wasn't Spirit-led, I wouldn't have preached what I preached about Jesus. And if that person was Spirit-led, they wouldn't be saying what they're saying about Jesus. But the truth for us today is this. Let me say this. You know what? The Spirit of God will always lead us to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify his name, to defend his deity, to treat him very sacredly and very precious. And so those who claim to be religious, those religions that claim to be right, but they throw disparity upon the name of Christ, they attack the deity of Christ. Let me say this, that has not come from the Holy Spirit of God. Understand that. That would be Islam, by the way, and some other things that are being taught, which I'm so disappointed and disgusted. And I, you know, the big hype over Tiger Woods and his apology and all of that. And I watched a replay of that. And I wasn't interested, honestly, in the whole personal matters. But what the reason I listened is somebody called me and said, you need to watch that. Halfway through his apology, he wanted to say that the reason that he had fallen into this mess he'd fallen into is because he got away from his Buddhist teachings. And he was going to recommit himself to Buddhism. That's the way he was raised, and he was going to recommit himself to Buddhism. You know what Tiger Woods' problem is? He just needs to get saved. I don't know who the commentator was. Somebody, one of the news commentators, said that. He needs to find Jesus Christ. They were right. But apparently he's going to go back into a false religion, recommit to a false religion that does not credit the Lord Jesus with being the Lord. And that was free. Okay, verse 4 through 6. Let's get moving here. All right. Let me just hit these verses. Notice there's a pattern here. Now there are diversities. That word diversities mean a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, or again, of differences, diversities, or a variety of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities or varieties of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, I know Paul's teaching this to the Corinthians, and I keep referring back to the immediate historical value of it, but let me also just bring the principles into our lives. Diversities of spirit. What he's saying there is there will be in the church, he's saying to the church of Corinth, there is going to be in the church a variety of spiritual gifts, but all come from the same Holy Spirit of God. And he's setting them up here. He's laying the groundwork here. Because remember, there was those that felt like because they had this gift, everybody ought to have this gift. And if somebody didn't have this gift, they weren't, quote unquote, right with God. You ever heard that before? They weren't right with God. I'm here and I'm a better Christian than you because I have this gift and you don't have the same gift. God's saying, hey, there's a variety of gifts. And you know what? The Holy Spirit orchestrates this. We see this, as I mentioned already in verse 11. They are gifted by the Spirit and they are divided to every man according to his will. We don't choose. God chooses. So if God gifted you with something and gifted someone else with another gift, you know what? There are differences or varieties of gifts, but they all come from the same Holy Spirit of God. There's differences of administrations. That word administrations is talking about a variety of church teachers or leaders or servants or ministers, diversity of personalities or styles, but the same Lord can use them all. And they ought to be and should be in the church a diversity of styles and personalities and leadership styles and personalities, teacher types. You know, well, I teach my lesson this way and that teacher doesn't teach it the same way and doesn't use some of the same things. And you know what? They just need to do it like I do it. No, they need to do it like God's gifted them to do it. What he's saying, folks, is this. Too many times we think that there's right and there's wrong when it comes to the way we serve the Lord. And a lot of times it's not right or wrong. It's just different. You sit there and shake your head like that. Well, I'll tell you what, if everybody don't do it like we do it here, well, thank God everybody doesn't do it like we do it here. You know, the longer that you are in the ministry and the longer you serve the Lord, the longer you're going to appreciate. And I would pray to please listen. Look right up here. Blessed Old Baptist Church, this is for us. This is for us right now. Blessed is the day when you can look around and start being thankful for the fact that not everybody's like you at Blessed Old Baptist Church. I don't know. It's just kind of in me. It was in me, and I don't know why. I've always enjoyed and liked a diversity of different types of personalities. I really do. I've never said, this type of person I'm drawn to, so I'm going to hang around people that are like that. I've always been drawn. Ask my wife. I mean, my friends in Bible college, they were weirdos. They were. I mean, they were. I mean, she's like, where did you find that? I don't know. He's different. I like him, you know. But everybody says he's weird. Well, I know, but we're all weird in some ways. Just say amen right there. Amen. Yeah, we are. You know, we're so worried that if someone's not like us, then, you know, well, what they need to do is just be like me. No, no, they need to be like God made them. And thank God. You know, well, every preacher needs to be. No, every preacher needs to be like God made him. And every teacher needs to be like God made them. And you know what? Somebody, other pastors leading a church and his administrative style is a little different than mine. Guess what? I don't need to write a book and condemn him and tell him he just needs to do it the way I... You know what? The Holy Spirit of God can actually... He actually created people different and he uses different people and he uses them to administrate in a little bit different ways. Get over it! Be thankful. You know what? In order to reach... And I know we've... You know, let the liberals steal the word diversity, so we're scared of it. But in order for Blessed Old Baptist Church to reach a diverse group of people outside the walls of this church, he's going to bring inside of this church a diverse group of people to do it. And there's some people that can flourish in certain ministries that are a duck out of water in other ministries, and there's certain people that can handle certain types of situations and are terrible in other types of situations. And stop feeling guilty about it. Stop worrying about it. Find what God's gifted you to do and put your heart into it. And amen. Boy, that'll help our church. All right. Diversities of operations. There'll be in a church a variety. This word operations means ministries, or literally the effectual fervent workings. But there's going to be a variety of different ministries or operations or things going on simultaneously in the church. It's the same Lord that worketh all in all. And we've got to be careful that, well, you know what, you're gifted, obviously, in success, and you're succeeding in this ministry. And, you know, Brother Jerry, if we just had everybody in this ministry, then, folks, there'd be a lot of other ministries that's not being successful right now. And so what's the bottom line? Accept the different gifts in different people. Accept the different styles and personalities. Accept the different ministries and outreaches. And realize that they're all from the Lord. And as long as they are controlled by the Scriptures and by the Spirit, we should be thankful for them. The church should be diverse. It should be diverse. Accept people who have different gifts than you. Accept people who have different styles and personalities than you. Love them. Be glad for them. Man, they make our team better. They're going to be able to do things I can't do. Reach people I can't relate to. Leave them alone. Stop picking on them. We need them here. We need them here. Listen, the Bible nowhere in the world propagates a cookie cutter mentality. We all ought to be spirit led and we all ought to be guided by the Scriptures, but we all also ought to be and accept the fact that we're made different and that we are gifted in different ways, and we need to find where we can make the best impact for the Lord. Rejoice in it. Be glad of it. Understand that these differences allow the church to make an impact in a variety of different ways upon a variety of different people. Let me just say this. No one here has a monopoly on the Spirit of God. Nobody has a monopoly on the Spirit of God. And nobody is blessed with all the gifts of the Spirit. So whether you like it or not, you need each other. Amen. Learn to like it. Learn to like it. I don't know, Brother Jerry. Well, just take a deep breath and let it just kind of sink in for a minute. Amen. I'm glad we've got a lot of different people with a lot of different gifts, a lot of different abilities. And let's put them all into the same pot and begin to work together for the glory of God. Now, verse number 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. These different manifestations, the very gifts, spiritual gifts, the varied spiritual strengths given and gifted to us by the Holy Spirit is given to every man. Why? That word profit there, to every man to profit withal, means to contribute into the assembly so that it can fully function and properly function. Now, here's the thing, folks. Even though we are all made different, we all gifted different, all of us by ourselves will never make the impact that we could make if we come into an assembly and everybody puts their collective thing in the pot together. That's what makes this exciting. That's what makes it supernatural. That's what makes it work. Verses 12 on down, we'll cover next week. We won't teach them tonight, but God likens the different members of the assembly, of the local assembly, to a body. And we're going to see that, listen, if all of the parts do not come in with their spiritual gifts, with their spiritual strengths and a willingness to work together, then you know what? There's members of the body that are absent, and the body cannot function with as well as it could if it had all of its members. Literally, folks, we become handicapped when people say, well, I do have this spiritual gift and this spiritual strength, but you know what? I'm going to withhold it from my local assembly simply because I don't want to get involved, or I can't get along with certain people, or, you know, back in 1837, I got burnt once. I'm still walking around carrying that. I'm just, you know what, I just never have. I mean, I just was devastated, and I'll get over it. Good night. This whole thing's bigger than that. Walk around, I'm sick of 20 years, some of you have been walking around showing me the same alley. I'm just tired of looking at your alley, okay? Get over it. Amen. Call the ambulance. You want a little wine with your cheese? Or a little cheese with your wine? Sorry about that. Blew that one. But No, I mean, honestly, come on, good night. No, none of us that are still serving has ever had anything go wrong. We've never been called a name, never been lied about, talked about, gossiped about. No, man, we've been on easy street the whole time. You know what? We grew up, we matured, decided we wasn't going to let some knucklehead and one thing that was said at one time blow us out of our seat or knock us out of the ministry or cause us to quit on God. Come on now. Good night. You got to be stronger than that. That all it takes, man. You don't even need the devil to get you out of the saddle. And so, you know what? Come and let's put it all in the pot. Come, put all your gifts together. Come, let's find out where you fit and where you can function and where you can succeed and where you can make an impact for the cause of Christ. And that's what's exciting about watching an assembly that comes alive, that comes together. This is why Satan hates unity. This is why he fights unity. This is why he's always trying to stir something up. You know why? Because he understands that if the assembly actually would come together and all of the collective strengths were put together and begin to work in an organized fashion for the cause of Christ, you know what? Supernatural, miraculous, amazing, Book of Acts types things would begin to happen even now in this modern day. Now let's look at verse 8 through 10, and I want to again work on definitions for a while, okay? So stay with me, and I think you'll find some of these things interesting. Verses 8 through 10, then we begin to get a listing, or at least a partial listing, of some of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit, and I'm not going to hit this and say a lot about it, but notice it's introduced by the fact, again, reminding us that this is given by the Spirit of God. And then all of these things, as you'll see by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, repeated. It's a constant reminder of us, even in the listing of them, God says, listen, I'm going to tell you what they are, but you didn't invent them, you didn't create them, they don't come from you. These are gifts. And so he begins by saying that, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let me work down through the list here. And again, folks, this is where your preacher, a Baptist preacher with a King James Bible and a knowledge of word definitions and word usage in the Bible, is going to try to wrestle some of the things, these things away from the charismatic movement and put them back into the proper context of what the Bible says that they mean. Word of wisdom. You know, 150 years ago, if you'd have said that, people would have thought a word of wisdom, a word being a communication of wisdom, they would not have thought of anything other than what I'm going to say it is. A word of wisdom. Remember, this is a gift of the Spirit of God. So it is divine insight given to us during times of meditation and prayer. Words of wisdom. Now I'm going to cover words of wisdom, words of knowledge together. What's word of knowledge? It's a divine truth. A divine truth revealed to us during times of intense study or personal counsel. That's where we get our knowledge. And then word of wisdom is divine insight to that truth, or how to properly use that truth that's given to us during times of meditation and prayer. If you study these two words of the Bible, knowledge and wisdom, you would have, I was at a service the other night and somebody got a word of wisdom. Someone got a word of knowledge. And all of a sudden, we've taken this thing and completely redefined it. Oh, were they involved in study? They got a word of knowledge. Oh, were they involved in studying the Bible and or receiving personal counseling? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit opened up to them knowledge about a part of the Bible that they had not seen before. Oh, no, they just stood up and said that God said to say something. That's not what this is talking about. That is not what this is talking about. How many of you have, I'm going to say this, I think probably anybody studied the Bible. Folks, I'm going to say something. It's not bragging, because it didn't come from me. It happens to anybody and everyone that studies the Word of God on a regular basis. I mean, folks, I'm going to shock you, but today in my study several times I had a word of knowledge. You know what happened? I had my Bible open. I had my study books open. I was studying the Word of God, comparing spiritual things, scriptural things with scriptural things. I'm involved in a verse, looking at something I never looked before, and the Holy Spirit of God, my divine tutor, said, all right, you've worked hard enough. Let me gift you with what that means. Let me open your eyes and let you see the depth, a new depth of that truth. And boom, it happens. And when that happens, I hate to sound like a teenager. Is that cool? That's cool. It is. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I love studying the Bible. You know what? Because I'm not studying it by myself. And you know what? My understanding of the Bible isn't dependent upon my IQ. If I understood it, it's not because, I understood that. Man, I must be smarter than everybody else. No. I've got a divine book. And I've got a divine tutor, and I'm studying it, and sometimes I'm not grasping a verse, and so I'm looking at different things, and I'm still not grasping it, and all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit of God says, okay, I'm going to show you what that means, and when it happens, you know it wasn't your brain, you know it was the Spirit of God, but God only does that if you're willing to put the time of work in, but when it happens, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Divine wisdom is a gift of God. Word of wisdom simply means that in some area of your life, God's given you a divine insight during the time where you're trying to make a decision and you need wisdom. And so you seek the Holy Spirit. You seek God in meditation. You seek God in prayer. Maybe you go get some personal counsel. And through all of that, God gives you the wisest thing to do. And when you receive that, you don't question it. You know it, and you know where it came from. Doesn't make you proud, doesn't make you haughty, it makes you humble, because God just showed you how to take care of a situation and you didn't know 10 minutes ago how to take care of it. Are you listening to me? These are gifts that God gives us. Now, folks, some people in these areas are more gifted than others. That's just the truth of it. And so that doesn't make them better or anything else. It just means that God, the Spirit, decided that in that man's life, for what God has called him to do, he is going to divide to him an extra portion of giftedness in that area because he needs it because of what he does. Okay? What about this matter of to another faith? Now, by the way, folks, everybody has to have faith. You were created with faith. I'm going to blow something up here because it needs to be blown up. I am not a Calvinist, and I want you to know that, and I know some half of you, 90% of you don't even know what I just said, but I'm not. For those 5% of you that know, I am not, your pastor is not a Calvinist. I think Calvinism has done more to destroy Christianity. I mean that with all of my heart. It's a heresy, it's a false doctrine, I hate it. I'm not a Calvinist. You know what? God, when he created you, gave you the ability to choose to put your faith in something. Your faith in something. You don't believe that? Just go to the Gospels and read every time that Jesus interacted with somebody that needed a miracle. And he said, when he saw God's faith. He doesn't say that, when he saw their faith. You were created with the ability to place your faith in something. If faith is a gift from God, then what about people that have their faith in the wrong God? Did God gift them that faith? And what I'm telling you is, and I can't get in. I'm sorry, I've already. Okay, let me just drop that. Some of you are looking so lost right now, but I'm so angry about that. I'm so sick of the fact that it's creeping into our independent fundamental Baptist church. It's to the point where I don't even care if you don't know about it, because I'd almost rather you didn't, but I'm probably going to have to teach you about it, because one of these days somebody's going to come wandering in here and they're going to be wandering around the conversation talking about the 5 points of Calvinism. You know what? It's hogwash. Amen. So if you hear that, anything about it, just say, I don't know what that means, but Pastor Jerry says you're full of hogwash. Right. Faith. But I do believe this. After we are saved, it is amazing the divine gift, the divine giftedness that God gives some people in this matter of increased faith. When I talk about faith in this context, it's talking about the faith in its highest energy as a supernatural power. Now, stay with me here. I'm talking about the faith of Matthew 17, 19 through 20, the faith that removes mountains. You in your Christian life have seen God use or bless or gift some other Christian at times where you've seen them willing to step out in a way that you're sitting there going, there is no way in the world. I said, what in the world? And you know what? Not only do they do it, but it works. And it challenges your faith. And thank God, you know, every church needs people in that assembly that are unusually gifted in Matthew 17 faith. Everybody needs in every assembly. Listen, every assembly has its share of skeptics about everything that we're about to do. And thank God every assembly needs some voices of some seasoned, gifted spiritual men and women that just say, you know what? Bible says that which is without faith is sin. And of course we can't see our way clear. If we could, it wouldn't be faith. I like it when these older men in the church stand up and just begin to chronicle the history of the church and the times that we've had to step out when we knew God wanted us to do something and we didn't know how it could happen. And you know what? There was a handful of men that got behind a pastor and just said, preacher, if this is what you feel like God's leading you, you know what? Let's do this thing. Folks, I look out my window of my office every day and look over there at a building that should not be there, that we did not have the resources to build. And I hope that that whole procedure did what it did in my heart, in your heart, and that is build your faith. You know, sometimes we come in and we say, okay, here's the best. I'm not talking about, folks, not counting the cost. I'm not talking about not having a plan. But the honest truth is anything and everything God's ever lead me to lead or be a part of has always involved a certain element of faith. And Brother Steers, when God spoke to your heart about becoming a missionary, he provided all of the assets, all of the needs. I mean, in that moment he called you, you had a clear path all the way to victory land. No. I mean, you're sitting out there going, you want me to what? Are you, Lord, I don't want to be blasphemous, but what? Me? No. You know, and so he gifts some folks in a special way in this matter of faith. Gifts of healing. And by the way, remember, this is spirit giftedness. So this is a supernatural gift. Divine healing, not that which is accomplished by medical knowledge. Thank God for doctors and for nurses and for medicines. But it's not talking about that, or it wouldn't be a gift of the Spirit. It's talking about divine healing. How many of you believe that God still divinely heals? Amen. I said that the other day. How many of you ever experienced divine healing? And about a third of the congregation raised their hand. And I said, folks, we all have or we'd be dead. I mean, we've all been healed of something. Honestly, if you had anything ever go out wrong with you physically and it was not healed by the Lord, then it would have continued to deteriorate and we'd already gone to your funeral. You know, folks, that the common cold 150 years ago killed people? Are you getting this? And so thank God we've experienced divine healing in our lives, supernatural gift. Now, I'm going to say this when I talk about the working of miracles next, because I do believe that there were powers. Let me go ahead and hit that and I'll tie the two of these together. The next one is work of miracles. Working of miracles literally means the active efficiency of powers, such as the signs of the apostles mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12:12, which included, according to Romans 15:18, wonders and mighty powers. It's undeniable if you study the Bible that there were gifts of miracles given to the apostles that passed and were not passed down to the next generation. We'll study that in the book later. But this gifts of healing and this working of miracles, there is an element of the apostolic gift that was involved in him. And some of those methods and some of the ways that they did it is no longer available to us today. But I don't want to for a second say to this congregation that God's still not performing healings and he's not still performing miracles. We know that it's true. Say, Brother Jerry, do you think that some people are divinely gifted in this area? I'm going to say this. If I'm sick, I mean deathly sick, I will tell you right now, there's a short list of men that I want to come pray for me. Now, if you want to call that a gift of healing, you call it whatever you want to. All I know is there's certain men that I know and have seen and watched pray for the sick and have consistently gotten their prayers answered in that area. Well, excuse me, but I want them to come see me or my family. You call it whatever you want to. Working of miracles. I do think that there are people that literally are gifted in God's leading and God's usage in their life to be able to spearhead things that end up going beyond any human explanation to the miraculous. And they do it consistently and they do it regularly and they just seem blessed to have the leadership in those things. Okay? All right, how about the gift of prophecy? The next one. By the way, this is not predicting the future. It's talking about the elevated and divinely blessed proclamation, not prediction of the future, but proclamation of the scriptures. Some are given the gift of proclaiming the scriptures. And when they do so, there is a supernatural giftedness to it. There's a supernatural anointing. And the usage of their preaching gift is used in the assembly to edify and to exhort and to strengthen in an unusual and supernatural way. Folks, I'm going to say it. I've been places where I'm listening to a guy that's got it, and I've been places to listen to a guy who ain't got it. All right? One of the things that, you know, I've talked to Dad about to get clarification on and working with some of our young men different times where they're talking about, you know, wondering and maybe God's working their heart and they're trying to discern God's leading their life and this idea of being called to preach, which I believe in a divine call. I believe in a divine anointing. And you know what? My dad says, you know what? A guy that's called to preach, God puts preach in him. And there is a divine giftedness there. I've seen young men, I love them, but you know what? They can come tell me they're called to preach, but I'm not saying where I'm at now is the same place I started, but I'm just saying at some point there's either a evidence of that gift given to them or there's not. You can walk around and thump your chest the rest of your life and claim to be, but all I know is sometimes, you know what, sometimes it's just that we're desiring a gift that we have not been given. And in doing so, we're probably ignoring a gift that we do have. So folks, the gifts aren't chosen by us. The gifts choose us. The Spirit gives us, each and every one, those things. Okay? Discerning of spirits. Now, don't worry about the spookiness of this, but there is a visible world and there's an invisible world. There's a visible creation, invisible creation. The discerning of spirits means that there are Christians that have the divine gift that allows them to discern between the presence and working of true spirits or the Holy Spirit from the presence and working of false spirits. Let me say this. All supernatural movements and supernatural workings are not from God. Let me say that again. All supernatural workings and supernatural movements are not from God. The supernatural encompasses a lot of things. That's why the Bible tells us to try the spirits. Some people have a gift of discernment when it comes to discerning the spirit. Some Christians don't. Some Christians are so easily caught up in anything that smacks of the supernatural. Just because it's supernatural don't mean it's of God. We talk about the supernatural. We're talking about demons. We're talking about the devil. We're talking about false spirits. We're talking about of the occult. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. Well, I went to such and such and I felt the Spirit moving. Well, yeah, you may have felt a Spirit moving. Do you have the discernment to understand when a Spirit's moving and when the Spirit's moving? And I always worry about people that say that. I felt the Spirit moving, because they hardly ever use His first name. His first name is Holy. I went to this Christian rock concert and I know you don't agree with it, but boy, you could feel the Spirit. Yeah, I'm sure you felt some spirits there. No doubt you felt some spirits there. Did any of them have the first name Holy and a capital S in spirit? The Spirit of God always draws us to holiness, always leads us to holiness. Everything he does is anointed in holiness. It's not derived from the flesh and the lust of the flesh. So be careful about that. Discerning of spirits. We've got a whole bunch of people that I think a lot of truly saved that have been caught up in this contemporary Christian movement. And they go into a church where there's a lot of bells and whistles and there's a lot of orchestration and there's a lot of things that appeal to the emotions, sometimes the intellect, a lot of times their own pride, and certainly the flesh. And next thing you know, they say, you know what, I'm going to tell you, I've just never felt like that. Woo! I'm telling you, I've never felt God like that. Well, be careful, because there's God with a big G and there's God with a little G. And there's spirit with a big S, and even spirits with little S's that are spirits from God. And there are small S spirits that are not from God. And you better have some discernment about it. And we have men in this church that have it. I mean, there's times when, you know, when I have a missionary come in and I'm thinking about it, and I go to two or three men, and I don't always go to the same two or three. I go to men that I feel like, and I say, you know, listen, I guess I just don't know. What was your impressions about that? What do you think? And, you know, sometimes it's very hard, very difficult, because here's a guy comes in, he puts a display up, you give him a few minutes, he preaches one message, and now we've got to decide whether or not we're going to commit the sacrificial giving of God's people. I'm talking about sacrificial giving of God's people. Are we going to support this? You know what? I want to be spirit-led in that. And there's been men that I didn't really notice any specific thing they said. There was no heresy preached. There was no whatever. But sometimes there's just been, with me meeting with other men, what did you think? Preacher, I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it, but you know, if you think we ought to, and I'm sitting there thinking, that's funny because I'm feeling the same way. And I think we need, it doesn't mean that that person is a bad person and shouldn't be supported, but maybe that's just not who God wants this assembly to support. And so there needs to be, that's a gift that's given. And then diverse kinds of tongues. And the word tongues there, if we go back to Acts chapter 2, where it's originally mentioned, is talking about, even in its specific definition, word definition, it's talking about languages. Divers means different kinds of variety or different kinds of languages. Some Christians are divinely gifted to master a language or a variety of languages. Don't tell me that's not true. I can tell you one guy that doesn't have that gift. It's frustrating. I wish I did. You ever been with somebody? I mean, we used to do this thing in Little Mexico, part of Chicago, and Spanish, and I say, I've got to figure out what they're saying. I've got to learn how to pronounce these words, and somebody try to, you say it like this, and I'm thinking, my tongue won't even do that. And somewhere between my brain and my tongue, there's a disconnect. Folks, you don't realize how hard I'm concentrating right now just to speak English. I'm wearing my brain out just trying to properly form English sentences. You know, but I have been with people while I was in that bilingual situation, bus workers, freshmen that come in, within just a few weeks, they just picked it up. They were saying the phrases. I hated them people. I was so angry. I thought I'd been here for 2 or 3 years. Mañana, autobus. And then they're laughing. The little kids are mocking at me. I can't even say it right. Don't tell me there's not people that have this gift. I'm going to say this out loud. I'm going to tell you. One of the reasons that I've kept my eye on, I'm going to just call a guy's name. But it didn't surprise me, Jeff, when your little brother came to my office about a year ago and said, Brother Jerry, I just want to talk to you about something. I got permission from my pastor to come talk to you. But, I really feel like God's leading me in the mission field. And I remember that kid as a teenager. And, man, languages was like nothing to him. And I've always thought to myself, if God gifted somebody with that ability, why would he do that for them to waste it? You ought to think about that. You ought to think about that. And so, you know what? Michelle Bash, by the way, the next thing. Diverse kinds of tongues does not mean spooky speaking. Interpretation of languages. Look up that word interpretation. I dare you. Go get a Strong's dictionary. Go get any type of Greek dictionary you want. You'll find this definition for interpretation. It literally means the divine gift to translate languages. That word means translation. How many of you think that you could go to... Where's she at? Vanuatu. How many of you think you could go to Vanuatu or a similar island, walk back into the jungles, plop yourself down, spend a year amongst the people, create a vocabulary, and write the book of John out? Don't tell me this kid does not have a divine. Now, would it be wrong for her to become braggadocious about that? Does anybody here have any doubt where that comes from? Okay. And by the way, that young lady has no doubt where that comes from. That's why God's using her the way she's using her. Hey, man, if you got it, use it. I think that'd be a fair way to conclude the study. Too many times we're not being used because we are angry that we cannot do what we want to do instead of figuring out what God gifted us to do and going and doing it. Brother Jerry, what's God's will for your life, my life? Let me just help you with that. One of the best ways to discern God's will for your life is to figure out what God's gifts into your life, what is the spiritual gifts that he's given you. That'll give you a good lead on which direction you ought to be heading. It really does. And I've seen Christians that are square pegs trying to beat themselves into round holes and vice versa, and all you're going to do is live frustrated. What has God gifted you to do? And if somebody keeps coming to you saying, but you need to do this, and you know you're not gifted to do that, but you know you're gifted to do this. I mean, pray about it. I'm not saying God can't miraculously and has. But more times than not, he's just equipped you to do what he wants you to do. Make sense? All right, so the interpretation of tongues means literally a divine gift to translate. Now think about this. How valuable were these last two gifts in the early church? With the missionary efforts, with the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every nation, how valuable were these people that were divinely gifted to either learn a language or a variety of languages, and those that had the gift to interpret or translate into those languages? Man, that is a vital part of worldwide evangelism. So how in the world did we get from what it obviously is to the mess that we claim it to be? And we're going to get into that more in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I love that chapter. I can't wait to teach that chapter. I'll sit down with anybody that wants to tell me it means something else, and we'll have a good time. I'm not scared of one verse in that chapter. We're going to have a good time. And I'm going to get your guns loaded. And you will get it. You will get it. It's not hard. When it's properly taught and properly outlined, you're going to say, oh, I can't wait till the next time somebody comes to me and says, well, what about 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Ah, let's take a look at that. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, ask, Lord, please, for your help, Lord, as we try to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Lord, help us as we work together in an assembly to recognize our spiritual gifts, to be willing to contribute those gifts, not be selfish with them, not lock them away, not hoard them, not only allow our family to benefit from them, but when we are willing to bring them into the local assembly, serving together with other precious members that may have a varied group of gifts, different than ours, but all of the Spirit, all orchestrated by the Spirit, all working together. Lord, help us to understand and see the importance of us understanding these things and doing these things. Now, bless, Lord, what we've taught. May proper definition, proper defining of these things help us. And Lord, as we continue through this chapter, Lord, next week, I pray that you'll further our knowledge and open up our wisdom, Lord. Bless our invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.